on and paper off my doorstep. I don't care to look at it today.
Well, thank you for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode 105. We'll get right into it. I sat down with Lynn LeMaster and Guy Rodgenson, both of Prescott E-News, Prescott Valley E-News, Chino Valley E-News, all the E-News families that we have up here. They cover not only Yavapai County, but the entire state as an online news publication. Lynn has been doing this for about a decade or so, most of that time as a solo operator, covering the news up here all by herself. And she has had several contributors over the years, including myself and a bunch of other folks up here, freelance reporters and photographers and videographers and the like. And just recently, in the last couple of years, she has partnered with Guy Rodgenson to bring in some new business, some advertising, and that's what we talk about, the state of journalism today, the way the trends are moving towards digital and online and away from the traditional media that we have all grown up with. So sit back and listen to Guy Rodgenson, Lynn LeMaster, and myself. We also get a little drop in from Chris Hussey, who's been a guest on the show in the past. He's got some interesting projects coming up. We didn't talk too much about those. We just let him plug away a couple of things at the end there. But we will probably be sitting down with Chris sometime soon to see what he's been up to. Today's episode is brought to you by the Big Pine Comedy Festival, coming up to Flagstaff September 22nd through 24th. Check out their info at bigpinecomedyfestival.com, as well as Amazon. We can't encourage you enough. Please support the show with a little to no effort on your part and no expense, no extra expense. We want you to go over to milehighshow.com and use that Amazon link at the bottom of the page. Bookmark that. Save that right into your toolbars under Amazon, milehighshow.com. Use that as your Amazon link. What it does is takes you right over to your Amazon page or your Amazon Prime, whichever membership you have. It doesn't cost you an extra dime at all. But what it does is it lets Amazon know you got there through the Mile High Show, and then they give us a little thank you in the end. So again, milehighshow.com, use that Amazon link and bookmark it. Save it right there in your toolbar or shortcut it right on your desktop. Use that link, milehighshow.com, the Amazon button, to do all your online shopping as a way to show your support for the Mile High Show, and in turn, showing your support to the guests we have on, all the artists, entertainers, newsmakers, all the folks who we bring to you each and every week. So sit back and relax and enjoy episode 105 with Lynn LeMaster and Guy Rodgenson of PrescottEnews.com. Email, web, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you want to put out there. Where can we find Miss Lynn LeMaster?
Well, I'm the publisher of Prescott E-News, Chino Valley E-News, E-News AZ, and Prescott Valley E-News. And you can reach me at editor@enewsaz.com if you wish to. And you will probably see me around town quite a bit, no matter where you are, because I'm out there covering the news.
Good deal. Facebook, website, all that, the social media links, are they all on your web? Is that the best place to go?
Yes, and Facebook would be PrescottEnews.
Good deal.
.com for our Facebook page.
The actual URL, I believe, is facebook.com/enewsaz, though.
Or you could just hit the link.
Exactly.
Yeah. PrescottEnews.com. That's the home. That's the base, though, right?
Yes.
Guy, you are all... Wait, did you run your Instagram and all that, too? Or no? Or just go to that website for the links.
Instagram and the Twitter are both eNewsAZ.
Perfect, perfect. Yep. And guys, yours is not. What is your Instagram?
Oh, I'm not quite sure what you're asking.
Just tag.
No,
you.
It's all eNewsAZ.
No, yours though.
I don't have an Instagram.
Yeah,
it's my company Instagram.
Yeah, but what is it? It's not the same thing.
She just answered that
it's
question.
It's eNewsAZ.
Yeah, but Guy, yours isn't. This guy doesn't even know what his Instagram is.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do you have an Inventus Media one?
No, eNews Guy.
Oh, you're asking. Yeah, no, it's eNews Guy.
Jeez. I have got the logo on it.
way too many social media accounts to manage. What can I say?
That's like when somebody asks me what my email is. I've got 15 of them, and they all filter through the one Yahoo I've been using.
It's Friday, and we're still working, and it's 5 o'clock. Cut me some slack.
All right, guys. So we are sitting in, where are we? Tell everybody where we are physically.
We are excited to announce that we have a new office at 224 South Montezuma Street. We moved in literally last week, so it's a pretty exciting time for us.
Now, this is right at the, what are we, the west or the south end of the square? What?
This would be the south.
South end of the
southwest.
Square.
Southwest.
Southwest.
Southwest, so it's west, the back east, north, corner south of the courthouse, but right on the square across from the Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
For a lot of the folks that have been in this area for a long time. This is the former Radio Shack building.
Correct.
It was Radio Shack for a while. You are a very, very short stone's throw from far from Folsom.
Right.
Which is right up the street. So to give everybody an idea of where that is, next to, who's your neighbor?
A&E Reprographics.
A&E Reprographics, and they did a fantastic job on our window signage.
Yeah, and they've been here for a while. So to give folks an idea of where you're located, and it is nice because I've been working with Lynn for a number of years, and she's been running the eNews family of online publications for how long? When did you start up?
We are entering our 10th year.
10 years. And mm-hmm. I started with you. Hit and miss, doing some stuff here and there, pretty close to the beginning, because you were launching it when mm-hmm. I was working with Lewis, your husband.
Right.
For a long time, we talked about some of this a few months back when you sat in on a conversation with Anita Cohen. We were talking about marketing things, but that was kind of a quick down and dirty podcast just on to get some of Anita's stuff out there. Mm-hmm. We want to get in a little more deeper onto your history, and we want to hear a little bit about why you hooked up with this guy and what he brings to the table other than an actual table.
a stripped and well-sanded table.
You have been running for 10 years or 9 years because your partnership's fairly new, but it was pretty much you running a solo shop with some of us in the local media contributing here and there, but it was by and large a Lynn LeMaster production for quite a while, correct?
It was. When I first started, I felt that the online news in our community needed help. Yeah. And so I had actually a background in web design and graphic arts, and my dad was in radio for 25 years, so I knew quite a bit about journalism and media, and I thought, I can do this, and I'll just put up my idea and see if anyone cares.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your growing up situation. He was in radio, but what type of radio? What was it? And I've heard some of these stories before, but my old man brain doesn't retain a whole lot.
He worked in Ukiah, California, on the KUKI radio station. He managed the news, but he also did some talk shows. He had a kooky sale that he called it, where people would call in kind of like an on-air classified, which was pretty fun. My mom was frequently horrified when she would hear him say, I'll take that. And we would come home with a new dog or a new cat or something along those lines.
So your roots in the Ukiah area, I want to say about 4 hours north of San Francisco, 4 or 5 hours?
2 hours.
Is it two?
Mm-hmm.
Not the way
I'm
I
the
drove.
On the 101.
Okay. What? Okay.
And when we were growing up, this is kind of an interesting bit of trivia, but when I grew up at the same time that Jim Jones from the People's Temple was in that location. And so one of the big news stories my dad did was regarding Jim Jones, and he had him on his talk show and tried to crack open some of the rumors and things that he had heard.
I remember that. Well, I was south of that. I was in the San Francisco Bay Area, and I had family up in that area, Willits area, that Round Valley up that area, Covelo Valley. So that it's a pretty remote area up that way, and it is sounds like what your dad did was concentrate on the smaller town news, the regional news. And at the same time, when national news stories or when bigger stories were there to kind of find a local angle to it. And that's a lot of what you're doing here in Prescott, Prescott, Arizona. What's our the quad five-city area? What's our population about?
It's a little over 100,000.
120-ish or something like that. So we are the for most purposes, we're still small town, but we are the major, Prescott being the major town of this region, of this area.
Yes.
And a lot of news happens here. We just got through with an election for a lot of the county and city seats are still up for grabs. There's a lot of activity here, a lot of local interest in politics. So you are still doing what your dad was doing, sort of looking at shining the light on local news stories, because a lot of the mainstream media is state, national, and a lot of wire stories.
Exactly. For the most part, I don't typically care for women's voices on the air. So I never...
I'm glad I didn't say that.
So I didn't ever see myself going into radio. I did. I studied journalism for 2 years in college. I did not finish because we had some family situations that I needed to attend to. But you're right. And there's a lot of journalistic ethics that I learned from following my dad around. You know, you respect requests to hold things quiet for a while. You work with the people that in the community as a partner, essentially. And you tell the truth.
There's a fine balance between doing what's best for your outlet, your website, your publication, whatever it happens to be, your station, and what's also good for the community. And there's a way to do both. And we don't often see that. We see the let's see how many, especially now in 2016 with social media, it's how many page views we can get, how many likes we can get, how many shares we can get on social media. Not necessarily if I put this out today or if I put this partial story out, is it what's best for the story and what's best for the community? You got to kind of walk that balance sometimes.
You do, and you also have to be careful not to sensationalize news just for the point of sensationalizing it. And that's something that we take the trust that we have developed over these years very seriously, and we want to present the truth to the community that they want to know. And sometimes it's fun truth. You know, maybe it's the history of a business, how a business got started. It doesn't have to be... I guess the best example I have is I recently told somebody that we want to be a partner in the community, not a vacuum cleaner that looks only for dirt.
I like that. So because there's a lot of it out there, and that's part of the problem, part of the issue, and part of the challenge is, having worked in this area for a dozen or so years in media, you'll often come across a story or somebody will give you a tip, and as you look into it, there might be some truth in it. I'll give an example. I was working on a story a few years back that had to do with a local politician that it wasn't necessarily an investigative dirt piece. It was more of a, this could make somebody look bad. And to find that balance of, okay, it's news. Do we report it right now? Or should we wait and see what happens? And it turns out after a law enforcement and the district attorney's office looked into it, there was something there, but it was more of a, it wasn't necessarily a news type of a story. So when we presented it as a whole, including the findings of the district attorney's office that said, well, yeah, and it's a, it was a, we gave the person a warning kind of thing. And the, so when we, instead of putting the story out that night, getting the headlines, we waited a week or so and were able to wrap the entire story up and say, this is what happened, rather than fueling the rumor mill. And too often we see reporters that will just go after the headline and we'll worry about the cleanup later. We'll worry about that vacuum cleaner later.
Well, and I've had a lot of situations like that. I have broken a lot of stories in this community where we've been the first to publish them. And I really like that. I think that's really fun to do. I like being first, but I'd much rather be right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, a story I can think of that similar to what you're talking about is when they had the whole theater situation with the Elks Theater and Don Castaneda. And did she buy the stuff with her own money or did she buy it with city money? And I had people from both sides coming to me and saying, aren't you going to cover this? Aren't you going to cover this? And I said, I don't know who the bad guy is yet.
Yeah.
And so I need more information. And so when they'd say, well, she bought it with her own money, I'd say, great, let me see the receipts.
Yeah.
And then when the city came and said, nope, she bought it with the city credit card, I said, great, let me see the receipts. And finally, they took me in, the city did, and showed me the city bank account online, and I could match every purchase she had made with the city credit card. Now, to be fair, Don was not the only bad guy in that story, and we tried to do our best to cover it completely. But there are times when you have to sit back and wait because it's not ready yet.
Yeah, because you can get those immediate clicks, those immediate views on online or on your social media. But you know, is it going to be the full story? Is it going to be a complete story? Because too often, people will remember the headline, they don't remember the result, or they don't remember the final outcome of a story. Now, some of that, like we were talking about, the balance of what you can cover and how much you can cover is very difficult to do when you're a sole proprietor of a news agency, which you were. And that's kind of where this fella comes in. What is your yeah, I did turn your microphone back on. What's a little of your background and what brought you to this joining up with Lynn and the E-News conglomerate?
I co-founded Inventus Media back in, I believe it was 2007, with my partner Christina Lawrence. And Inventus Media specializes in everything from advertising, marketing, and PR. And we were actually bringing Lynn advertisers as an agency. That's what we do. And that's kind of where Lynn and I established a relationship. And it was great service. And long story short, we started talking and realized that we were better together than apart. And throughout the course of a year in 2014 and 15, Lynn and I, probably one of the, I think the smartest things I ever did was we took the time to develop a partnership. It wasn't rushed into, and we kind of operated in parallel, operating our two different companies, but working together as one to figure out if the business model worked. And eventually what we did is we merged my marketing and advertising agency with her news family of news sites to create a multimedia company called Specialized Publishing. And that's what you see today is a company that provides news, marketing, and advertising services throughout Arizona. I cut my teeth in marketing and advertising, which I've always been in sales and marketing since college. Back in 2004, I started an effort called Fly Prescott to promote the assets, the unique aspects of the Prescott Municipal Airport. I'm a low-time pilot, but I love flying. And as many of us know, in economic development in the city, the airport has always been kind of undervalued, at least in my opinion. And so I started this effort to promote those unique aspects. along came a company called Guidance Aviation, which we all know, the country's top business in 2013, based right here in Prescott, asked me to do what I was doing for the airport, do it for them. And from there, a full-blown agency was born. We brought on new people and then started talking to Lynn. And now in 2016, we have an office down here in downtown Prescott, providing everything from PR to online marketing, websites, content development, copywriting, and of course the news and entertainment and weather info.
So a little bit of everything.
Yep.
What are your target clients on the advertising side? Are you looking specifically for the larger, the Guidance, and the another one that you do some work for is Fane out in Prescott Valley?
No, we have programs to fit any budget, and that's one of the things that I was adamant about when we started this was being able to provide these services to any business, whether it's a small mom and pop or if it's a larger company like Guidance Aviation or G-Prep, for example, which we recently started working with the Greater Prescott Regional Economic Partnership. So we're developing programs right now, like our sales and deals category, which is going to be brand new, which offers coupon and advertising for small businesses that want to promote their specials, all the way up to the full service agency programs for the larger entities and organizations like G-Prep. So our target market is everybody. Our readership is about 55 plus, and our second biggest category in that readership is 35 to 45. So in terms of who we're targeting, everybody is our client here in Central Arizona.
Where do either of you, where do you guys see our area over the next, say, 10, 15 years? We know that when I got out here in 04 is when I moved out here. It was still on the uptick. I was part of a wave of a lot of folks relocating to this area. The economy was going full bore, homes, stores, retail, everything. And then obviously, as we saw across the country, 2008 was not only a standstill, but a nosedive.
Right.
We're seeing a little of that uptick now again. People are gaining their feet again. Where do you guys see us, this portion of the state, this portion of the county, where do you see us, say, in 10 years as far as growth, change? Do you think right. we're still in a holding pattern or what?
No, I don't. At least from the marketing and advertising side, we're doing very well, and it's continuing to grow. We just hired a new guy, and that continues to go in that direction.
Who's that? Let's plug in.
That is Ryan Sissons.
Hi, Ryan.
He's kind of our full stack IT web dev writer.
I really liked Ryan when I got in here because he was very nice and polite, and he had candy, and then he left and took the candy with him.
Yes, we are training.
So now I don't like Ryan anymore.
He's a low talker, and I'm deaf, so we're teaching him to be an up talker. But in terms,
yeah, and then in 6 months when he's yelling at you, you're going to wish for the old Ryan again.
Right. But when you talk about growth, we see more and more affordable homes being built up here. And that's really important. I think we all come up here, obviously, for the open space and the environment and so forth. But in order to support the services that we need up here to not only support the retirement community, but to continue to grow the economy so there's more jobs, we need things like affordable housing. And we need things like the hospital, which is an employer of approximately 1,800 people. So I see things right now in a positive direction. I hope in the next 10 years, through responsible growth, we continue to see that uptick in not only the population, but a younger population is where I see it going.
Nice. Lynn?
I would say that Prescott has such a rich history, and people, it's in the center of the state. It's a center in many ways, especially politically. Almost everybody who runs for office will come through Prescott at some time during the year. John McCain was just here yesterday in our office.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, here as in here at this table.
Yep. He was.
At this finely sanded table that Greg got.
Thank you.
There was a bus
feel his essence.
For the National Republican Women of Prescott, our National Republican Women of the United States, and it just came through Prescott yesterday.
Ice cream social.
Yes, they had an ice cream social.
I missed that. I was with John
Rosie
McCain.
Rosie the Bus.
Yes, Rosie the Bus. They had Barry Goldwater announced his presidential bid here. And John McCain, every night before an election, he will speak on the courthouse steps. It's a tradition.
It's picturesque. Was it the first Capitol?
Chino Valley argues a little bit about that, but basically
that's because they took a wrong turn and it lasted a couple of weeks. I thought that was Thumb Butte. No, that's Thumb Butte.
My grandparents moved out here in the 30s.
I wanted to ask you about that because you said you grew up in Northern California,
right?
But I know you have a history here as well. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that history. Specifically, was it a motel you worked for? No.
Oh yeah. Okay, well, we'll go back.
I've heard some of these
a little bit
before.
Farther. My grandparents moved out in the 30s. They were pulling one of those Silverstream trailers like you see in the I Love Lucy movie. My grandfather had emphysema, and his doctor said, go to Prescott. It's the best place.
Best air in the United States.
For breathing. And so that's how they ended up here. They looked at a map, and he had been told to go down to Phoenix, and then from Phoenix to go up, which of course would have been through Wickenburg and all those passes and stuff. And he said, oh, that looks like the long way around. There's this much straighter way. We'll just go through Jerome on a dirt road. And so that was their first adventure coming to Arizona. My dad graduated from Prescott High School.
Oh, nice.
He told me that he helped climb up and paint the P when, you know.
P Mountain.
On P Mountain.
Sounds more disgusting than it actually is. It's just a mountain with a big P.
Right.
I'm gonna stop drinking water now.
It's not a
I came out to stay with my grandmother during a summer, and it was the summer that the first McDonald's was being opened.
All right, cop to it. What year was it?
That would have been 77.
Oh, that's not that long ago.
And it was the year the first McDonald's was being
opened.
Guy
was 45 then.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
And so I had worked at McDonald's in California, so when I came out to visit my grandmother, I actually had a job arranged at Jack in the Box, but the working conditions were so horrible that when the McDonald's guy came in and he found out I had experience and offered me a job, I took
so you
him
got
up on
poached
it. I got
from
poached.
The Jack to the Golden Arches. Where was the McDonald's then?
That was on Miller Valley.
The one was it the same location, just revamped? Because they've remodeled it a couple times.
Yes, yeah, they
it's
have.
The same. And matter of fact, I worked on their first day open, and I had the best sales that
Note
day,
to
too.
Self, hit McDonald's up for sponsorship. In a
the following year, I came out. McDonald's was pretty well staffed, and I ended up working at a motel on Gurley Street called Colony Inn that was owned at the time by Marlon Kirkendall and his family.
Marlon.
Now, Marlon, former mayor here, who you covered extensively.
Right.
But he had history. Motel, didn't he? I may be way off base. Didn't he have like car dealership too?
Yes, he had car dealerships also. And I will tell you, when we ended up starting Prescott E-News and stuff, Marlon had no clue who I was. He did not know that I had done the laundry in his hotel for the whole summer, you know. So, but you can't.
So you could have literally aired his dirty laundry.
I guess so. there was a funny time there where somebody. One of the guests claimed that the maid had stolen his marijuana, and the head office offered
call
to
call the cops.
Yes,
somebody stole my dope.
Offered to call the police in his behalf, but he declined. So, to be honest with you, she probably did. But
I can see the headline. This goes back to those headlines: former mayor runs drug den. I think maybe
things keep going the way they're going. They'll be able to have it delivered to the motel room.
So that's kind of my history. My later on, I got married. We were working up at the Grand Canyon McDonald's, by the way. And then we moved down to Phoenix. My husband went to work for Jack in the Box, actually, down in Phoenix. And then my grandmother passed away. And she left us her house and her sister. And so we moved up here, and we've been here ever since.
Nice.
That was about 87.
And then I met you guys, you through Lewis, when Lewis and I were working together in 05-ish. Right. There. You want to talk low talker, soft-spoken guy, is the great Louis LeMaster. Good man. Just left here, actually, and then ran away when we started breaking out the microphones. So your launch to create Prescotty News and create a new news entity, was there anything, was it a specific story, or was it just the quality of coverage in general? What was it? Anything specific?
Well, I had been, as I said, I was doing web design, graphic arts, and one of my clients was a national, all positive news website called That's Crispy. And that was, you know, I kept looking around and thinking, in Prescott, there's a lot of positive news here. And I never had the intention of covering only positive news, because news is real. You know, sometimes it's bad. But I did feel that we could cover it with a positive perspective most of the time. And I wasn't seeing that online. And so that was kind of, I thought, well, I can put up a website. I know how to do that. So I'm going to put it up. And I had kind of a vision in my head. And I just want to see if anybody cares. And within about 6 weeks, I had as much traffic on Prescott E-News as it had taken the national news website 8 months to get. And wow. I thought, I guess they care. Our first big news story was the death of a high school student. His name was Curly. He was killed in a car accident. He was also a friend of my son, Matt's. And Matt came home, and he was upset. And he told me, he said, but Mom, he said, Curly's mom is a single mom, and she can't afford the funeral. So us kids at the high school, we've decided we're going to pay for the funeral. And those kids, those high school kids, raised $10,000 in 2.5 days. And
very nice.
So we told the story, and of course it's bad news. It's always bad news when a young person dies. But we told it from the perspective of what the kids in the high school were trying to do.
Now, you've covered some, and I've been part of some of these, you've covered some fairly major statewide and national and international stories. What are some of the major events, major stories that you have seen from the front lines?
I would say the James Ray story was a big one, where the people died in the sweat lodge
that
over
was out in
Sedona.
The Verde. Yeah,
we broke that story. Actually, we were the first to report on that one. We were on national media all over. They would call, and we would do basically radio interviews. There were the two missing children that happened very close to that time. We covered those. And both of those children did not survive. And it wasn't related. They were two separate incidents.
Two separate incidents.
But neither one of them survived. And that was a terrible tragedy. Of course, the firefighters dying, you know, the 19 firefighters dying. That was, it was a huge
2013.
Story.
2013.
Yes, that was a huge story. And especially for our community, one of the things I explained to some of the national media that came out that I was speaking to is what most people didn't understand is that everybody in this community either knew somebody or knew someone who knew somebody, I mean, or were related to them. I mean, this was whole generations that were represented by those people who died.
The firefighter community in general is very family orientated. Mm-hmm. It has been for history. There's, you know, in various parts of the country, same thing with law enforcement. You know, my grandfather was a cop. My uncles were cops. My dad was a cop. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the fire. And here, I noticed it more when I moved out here because I came from a larger metro area where I would see the same names on a Little League jersey, on a high school football player's jersey, see the same last name in news that was a firefighter and then a captain, battalion chief in the next town over, a captain over in Sedona. There are several families here that are really intertwined. And the more I got to know the local firefighters and covering for local news, I realized just how tight a community that was. And then in June and July of 2013, when we had back-to-back, the Dosey and then the Yarnell fire, that connection was made even more evident as we started hearing the stories of the relatives and friends and family members. And I know you were integral in that coverage. I was working, that was when I left. I was with one media company here at the tail end of Dosey. And then the next week when Yarnell started, I went over and started doing more stuff for you as I exited out of the other. But those were huge, huge international stories when I, through you, Lynn, when I got access to the services that were at the then Tim's Toyota Center, the Prescott Valley Event Center, where Vice President Joe Biden spoke, various state dignitaries. I was sitting in a line up at that top level, straight ahead, looking at the stage with guys from the UK, Japan, France was on my right side. It was an international coverage going on during that whole thing. You were being spread around there. I remember, and I might have this crisscrossed. Was it the Yarnell or Dosey where you were doing a lot of stuff out of an outlet in Australia? Do I have that wrong?
I'm not.
It might
I mean,
not have been a fire
had,
one. You had gotten contacted by a media outlet in Australia for one of the stories. And I don't remember which one it was. Too many to count.
Yeah,
I guess.
It
yeah.
is. I was. It's regarding the Yarnell firefighters. I was contacted by a major movie producer in California, and he came out, and I was able to introduce him to some key people, and he's the one who's right now yes. working on the filming
They're
in
filming.
Santa Fe.
Yeah, in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And so, but I mean, I've been in contact with national and international news agencies almost since the beginning, because I mean, I came from a really with an internet background. I understood what the internet could do for the news way before local media understood it.
Now you had, because of the relationships that you had fostered with specifically Prescott, with the Prescott hierarchy, political hierarchy, and some of the state reps and things like that, you had, your coverage was a little different, you were coming at things from a little bit of a different angle than specifically the national news, the network guys that were out here, but even our local, because of the relationships you had fostered with Prescott. What was your goal as you were going through the coverage of the Yarnell fire, of the aftermath, and in the investigations, and in the reports that were all coming out? What was your... What were you trying to tell? What kind of a story were you trying to tell? Did you have a specific goal that you were trying to do?
Well, we wanted to tell the true story of what happened. We didn't want to manufacture some sort of evil plot or something, you know, some terrible, you know. We just wanted to tell the truth about what happened. So, for example, the first time that they told the world that Brendan McDonough had survived and that he was the outlook for the team that was there and that he had to leave his post because the fire was coming too close to him. And afterwards, one of the national reporters went up to Wade, you know, the PIO from yeah. the Prescott Police Department.
Fire.
And Prescott Fire Department, that's right, and said, but Brendan shouldn't have left, right? And Wade said, you don't understand. If he had stayed there, he would have died. He said, yes, but he didn't have a backup, and so he shouldn't have left. And Wade said, I don't think you understand. You know, we didn't want him to die. And so this guy just kept hammering on him. He didn't follow protocol. He didn't do, and finally, I'd had it. I mean, this is our community. And I tapped him on the shoulder, and he looked a little shocked. And I said, why are you trying to make trouble? And he said to me, he said, what do you mean? I said, why are you trying to make trouble? You know, he told you what happened.
He's trying to manufacture a response.
That's right.
Of, yeah.
And he said, well, I'm a reporter and I ask questions. That's what I do. And I said, no, right now you're trying to make trouble and this is our community and we want you to stop.
Yeah.
And the rest of the reporters were actually thrilled because they had questions they wanted to ask too. And I feel very protective of our community. And bad things happen here. We all know that.
Yeah.
And sometimes mistakes are made and sometimes people do dumb things like, you know.
Yeah, get in line.
And so we're going to be truthful about that. But on the other hand, we don't want to manufacture things.
Yeah, there's almost a rush to shine the light on the mistake, which is fine. You know, you got to report on something, especially if, just for instance, say there's you know, some misappropriation of funds or some misconduct or whatever. You don't want to ignore that. But at the same time, is that the only story? Is that the only headline? Or how about let's step back, we'll look at the bigger picture, and how are we going to make sure this doesn't happen again? How are we going to correct the problem that happened? And how are we going to put policies in place to make sure that this doesn't happen again, or to cover ourselves, where whether it be a business mm-hmm. or a community or a municipality, whatever, mm-hmm. as opposed to a lot of media will, let's hit the problem. We're going to focus on the problem. Then they turn around and walk away, and they go back down to the valley, mm-hmm. or they go back to covering whatever else they're covering. And then when the problem has been resolved and fixed or dealt with, that portion of the story is either ignored or shuffled to a page way in the back. And that's what we see too often. I mean, that frustrated me working with media. It was like, let's show the problem. And then a couple weeks later, okay, here's the story on how they fixed it and they're correcting it and they're either disciplining or making amends or whatever. And they go, we'll do that later.
Right.
And that was really frustrating for me.
And one of the things I find a lot in national media is if somebody, especially in government, makes a decision or does something, it's automatically assumed that it's for bad motives for whatever reason, whether they're personal motives or they don't like someone or whatever. It's automatically assumed it's an evil act. And you know what? These people working in government are typically, especially the ones elected, typically are people who care about their communities and they want to help and they think they can contribute.
And that's pretty unique to smaller town politics, local politics. Sometimes the national scene or even the statewide scene, it's a little tougher because you have a larger population to try and make happy.
But you know, even, so let's take John McCain. And people can agree with his votes or not agree with his votes. But not this time when he came to Prescott. The time before, he told us that he had gone around town taking pictures of himself next to historical landmarks in the community and tweeted them out, hoping to bring tourists to this community. Because he has a huge following on Twitter.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he was just trying to help the community. He didn't have to do that. There wasn't any requirement. And we need to give these guys some credit when it's deserved.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, and I mean, Guy has said for a long time, everything's a story. Every business has a story. And
I want to talk on that because we've talked about the mm-hmm. the way to balance the type of stories you cover and the angle you go at them. There's a really fine line in business reporting that you have to be careful not to blur too much. And that's like, is it an advertisement? Is it a business story? Mm. How do you approach that angle of it, Guy?
That's easy, but I want to back up one quick second. When we were talking about the Yarnell fire and how Lynn responded to that one reporter, to clarify for the listeners, it may have sounded like Lynn was being critical of a decision made by the fire department. She wasn't at all. We were just giving examples of that scenario. But when you talk about business marketing, business stories, our agency was founded on the motto that everything is a story. If you go to the original agency site, that's our motto, everything is a story. And part of the problem with news, the way I personally see it, is we see too much negativity as opposed to more problem solution type articles. Just like you just mentioned, what happened, what was the problem, what was the mistake, how do we fix that, how we avoid it going forward. The same thing with news in general, in my opinion, is that we're seeing too many stories surrounded around negativity, in my opinion, as opposed to what are some of the good stories coming out of the community that we never hear about. And from the marketing agency side, what I've learned, because we do a lot of business blogging, so we manage the blogs and the PR and the social media for these individual businesses, and I've learned that there's these amazing stories that come out of these organizations, and I say, why aren't you guys talking about these solutions more often? They're amazing stories. Any business owner knows how difficult it is to be successful, how many hours a day you have to work, and how creative you have to be to make that happen. These are inspirational stories that should be told more often. I've had the opportunity over the past 2 months to meet literally with dozens of organizational and business leaders in our community. And one thing that I've taken away from it is we're really fortunate to have some very intelligent, very hardworking people in these positions of leadership, whether it's city government, economic development. I met with Jeff Burt today. I met with the hospital and Ken Bausch yesterday. I met with Larry Tarkowski of Prescott Valley yesterday to talk about different issues and find out what it is that they should be talking about from a problem solution type scenario. So when you talk about how do you avoid the blurring, to answer your question, it's better to go directly to that source and ask them as a content expert, what are you doing? What's going on? To me, that's not advertorial. They're actually just telling the story, and we're providing that access. That's the difference. Is I'm looking to develop long-term relationships with multiple entities in the community on an ongoing basis and provide them access to help inform us as to what's going on, as opposed to what has been typical over the past few years is they're always responding and knee-jerking when there's a problem. If they're able to communicate more often to the general public and inform people, I think the situation and the communication will improve. So we're not, when we talk about business marketing, I'll give you a good example. Footwork is a client of ours. They are the leader in motor vehicle transactions here in Prescott. Everybody knows it. Ken Wright runs an outstanding operation. They're also experts. His gal in there named Almeida is an expert at all things MVD. It's amazing. So when the Real ID Act came up, it was confusing because the government said to everybody, here, and of course, when the government introduces something, it's always confusing. So we were getting a lot of questions. So we went to Footwork and said, hey, here's what's going on online. These people have a lot of questions. They're asking us, can you clarify and provide a Q&A type article to clear everything up? And that's what we did. Was that advertorial? No. It was great information provided by a content expert about that particular matter at a very relevant time.
Yeah, on a subject that 90%, 99% even of the public has to deal with.
Right.
When they're dealing with their voting, traveling, driver's licenses, all that.
Right.
And we being the state of Arizona, was one of the few entities that was not in line with what the Fed was saying.
Right.
So it's like, well, what do we have to do? Are we legal? Are we not? What has to be done?
Right.
So to clarify that is providing a much needed service when the confusion affected every single household.
Right. It was very relevant at in a timely piece. And that's what we're trying to do with our business partners is simply educate the public.
Go ahead, Lynn.
I was just going to say, and the other thing is we're very honest about it. We tell who writes the story.
Right.
We're not trying to hide anything in this. We want people to know, okay, so we got it from this entity, and they're the ones who wrote it, and we put their name in the byline. We don't do, like, special Prescott e-news or things like that that are just dodges. You know, if somebody wrote it, let's give them credit for it.
And it also lets the reader know, okay, if I have questions on this story from Yavapai County Sheriff,
right,
it's got Dwight Devlin's name right on it, that's the person I can go to.
Right.
As opposed to this is the reporter's opinion, this is the opinion of the publisher, something like
right.
that.
That's right.
Now, one of the things, one of the stories in this area, I'm not a big political junkie. I'm not a political guy. I know Lynn loves it. The entertainment aspect of things, the activity aspect of things really interests me a lot more than the political aspect. But as I, one of the frequent guests on the show, Leslie Earl Lyman, told me this morning when we were having a meeting, he goes, everything's politics. Everything's about politics. Let's talk real briefly on, because I want to get into some of the news stories that you guys see on the horizon, some of the events coming up that people really need to know about. And one of them is closely linked to what I want to bring up now. We mentioned it earlier, the former Tim's Toyota Center, now the Prescott Valley Event Center, was the major entertainment draw in the area when they were hosting, speaking of derelicts, hi, Chris.
There goes Chris Hussey walking by.
We're sitting in the office, like we said, in front of the big plate glass window. So a few folks have walked in and stuck their noses. So you got to clean the windows when we're done. But that Prescott Valley Event Center was the major entertainment and activity draw in that area, in Prescott Valley, as the home to the Arizona Sun Dogs for a number of years, off and on, an arena football team.
Right.
They had talked about bringing some basketball. That was the scene of the circus, some concerts, yep. both local and national acts,
yep.
Some ice capade activities, a lot of different things, a ton of gun shows, home shows, all that stuff.
Circuses.
Yeah, the circuses. The Shrine Circus was there several times. The Harlem Globetrotters every single year. But when the major tenant, the main tenant, the Sun Dogs, went dark, along with not just the Sun Dogs, the entire CHL Central Hockey League went dark. That's what was focused on in other local media,
mm-hmm.
was the elephant in the room being that arena, because there was a lot of, again, going back, everything's political. That the way it was financed, who financed it, where the breaks came and all that, that was the focus of it. And then in recent months, we've been able to see a little bit of the back room activities that were going on, how hard these people were working
right.
at the arena, at Fain Signature
right.
Group, in the community with Marnie over at the
right.
Chamber of Commerce, the local sponsorship and stuff. What got forgot was, yeah, there's this big empty arena. It's a waste of money. All these people out of work. What wasn't focused on was the dozens and dozens of people who were working day and night to try and get tenants there.
Right.
And you were involved, Guy, in an announcement a couple months ago with the Arizona Suns D-League, Development League, coming in.
Northern Arizona Suns, correct. Yeah.
Now, you're working with the Fain Signature Group on some other things. At that press conference, I got a chance to sit down with Brad Fain, who I knew not really well. I mean, you know, I worked for him when I was working with the Sun Dogs. But we got a chance to sit down and talk for a little bit about what they've been doing and what
right.
the addition of the Northern Arizona Suns to this region. They start playing, what, late
October? November, correct.
I think some of the training camp stuff is in
right.
October. 20-some-odd games there.
24, I believe.
Other events. They're going to do some exhibition games with the Mercury and have some workouts
right.
and community events with the schools. I got a chance to sit down and talk with Brad about what that addition means to the community as a whole, both economically and just
right.
a good shoot in the arm for
right.
for morale.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's not focused on as much as it should be. It was the if you were to walk up and down Whiskey Row here and ask 15 people, what's the first thing that comes to your head when you think Prescott Valley Arena? Most of them will say empty, no shows, no this, no more hockey.
Right.
And they're not realizing all the work that's going into getting this going.
Part of that goes back to what we just talked about, allowing the business community to speak more. in the news. And if you don't speak, then it gets filled up with a lot of negativity because that's what you see online. Brad Fain and the Fain Signature Group have done an extraordinary job working with the community, working with economic development, getting NBA caliber play up here with the D League for 24 games. Not to mention they've brought back some hockey games.
Hockey
Catfish, Satish has done a great job over the Prescott Valley Event Center.
Collegiate tournaments there, the Adult League.
Right.
And of course, with that tenant coming in, bringing some money in, it allows them to keep that ice rink open during the season. Mm-hmm. For public skate, for kids to get out there and have a good time.
Another thing, too, is even during the dark times that you were mentioning, they still had the largest Christian concert series,
Elevate,
in the country, was held at Tim's Toyota Center, and even when the Sundogs weren't there. There have been, and Gary Spiker is another person who deserves a lot of credit for.
No, we can't, because Gary's head is already too big. we've had Gary on here before. Gary's a very, very good friend of mine. We enjoy talking. So I was just kidding about that, but he does have a big head.
But he does, you know, he did so much to, again, try to keep the weekends filled and the dates filled and keep business going.
They aggressively went after AIA Sports to get high school championship stuff in there, whether it be a huge, the Battle for the Buckle wrestling tournament that's there every year, the volleyball and basketball tournaments that are there. They've had some cheer competitions.
What's the pickleball or what the heck is that?
They were doing a lot of community events, too, just to get people, one, keep the arena in their mind, and plus give folks a place to hold larger events. And they were busting their butts to do what they can, and that wasn't focused on. We've had several times talking with Catfish and Gary on here and others to try and do that, to try and shine a light on that. But you're exactly right. That stuff wasn't publicized. It wasn't covered in media. They only wanted to cover the larger stuff, and E! News was a spot where you can go and see a lot more of the community, the smaller stuff.
Well, and it's always fun to drive by the Prescott Valley Event Center and see their parking lot full, because you know things are going on. And most weekends, that's what you see. You see full parking lots.
And I think
there.
We got a big expo coming up, Lifestyle Expo, and I was just talking to Marty at the PV Chamber about that, so...
Well, Guy, talk a little bit more. November for the games, website for the Suns.
You can find a lot of information on the Prescott Valley Event Center website is what I recommend you go to. Fain Signature Group, you can go to their website for a lot of that information as well. And, of course, you can follow our Facebook page at facebook.com/eNewsAZ for all the events.
And links right there at Prescott eNews. Now, that's something we can see on the... On the sporting goods front, or the sporting goods, the sports front with the Northern Arizona Suns coming in, some collegiate hockey. I know Catfish is still working to get some sort of season play hockey.
Yeah, he's doing a great job
there as well. So we hope to be talking with him soon. Lynn, what are some of the news stories that you see on the horizon? Let's start with the election, that the primary that just happened on the 30th, a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. What are some of the races, and you're going to see my eyes gloss over because I'm not passionate about politics, but I know a lot of listeners are. What are some things coming up that voters will be seeing as the result of them marking their boxes?
Well, there's a couple of very, very close races, and some are surprising. In the supervisor race, the supervisor District 5, which is Prescott Valley, where Jack Smith has been serving for the last 4 years, he's only 200 points ahead, or 200 votes ahead of his opponent. And everybody was very shocked because...
That's one section of spectators at the event center, to put it in perspective.
I'd imagine so.
And so there's that. There's the race for LD1, Legislative District 1, and that would be between Noel Campbell, Chip Davis, and David Stringer. And Noel Campbell, and that's two seats... Noel Campbell will go back. He'll continue to serve there. But the big tight race is between David Stringer and Chip Davis. And again, there's about 300 votes
in
separating those two.
In your reporter hat on, depending on who wins, what do you see the difference? What's the difference between these two candidates? Do you see it going one direction with one and another the other, or just different philosophies? What do you think?
I think they do
pull
have
out your
a
crystal
certain,
ball.
They do have certain different philosophies. David Stringer is very, very conservative, especially when it comes to taxing. He led the effort against the school tax one year, and it lost that year. You're going to have to really work hard to convince him that more taxes are needed in a certain area. Chip Davis has said that he believes that we need to invest in things like education and roads, which would indicate probably finding some more tax dollars there. So I think that some of those philosophies are coming into play. They're different. They're totally different people. Chip has lived, his family, I think four generations have lived in northern Arizona. And David Stringer is a business owner. He owns a hotel out on White Spar. He also is an attorney. He did a lot of work in Washington, D.C., so he understands nuances of the law more than Chip would. But Chip's been a supervisor for many years, too, so he understands government. So they will be different, but I will say this. No matter who wins, they will both want the very best for Yavapai County.
Very good, very good. Now, this is going up Monday, which is what, the 4th, 5th? Monday the 5th. What do we got coming up? I know, it'll be too late, so you guys both had a lot of fun at the Chino Valley corn dinner this past Saturday, which is actually tomorrow night. The magic of broadcast.
I had a great time.
You had a great time. Yeah, you got a little chili.
I guess
yeah.
I got some corn in my
teeth. Best corn ever.
Coming up, no, it's a lot of fun out there. Look for it next year because that benefits the FFA program at Chino Valley High School, and thousands of people show up to that thing. It runs for several hours. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. Look on PrescottEnews.com for some photos and some activities going on for the entire weekend.
And that one of the fun things about that is that the servers at that event are local politicians.
So you get to throw stuff at them.
You can. Empty corn cobs.
They're usually hands are full, so they can't hit you back, although Mike Best did a... Never mind. We'll talk about that later.
I'd love to give Rosalie Darby a big shout out. She is working her tail off to make that happen. And she's basically a one woman show. She's got obviously
and Levi,
a committee.
Her husband Levi have been working hard. They continually have with youth athletics, running their business, mother and father to great kids. But they are also involved as Levi being the president. I'm not sure what Rosalie's title is, but she's basically the
do everything.
Yeah, the jack of all trades.
They keep a lot of the equipment for the fair at their house.
Yes, so they're involved with the fair, and the fair is going on
next week,
8, 9, 10, and 11
at the
Prescott Rodeo Grounds here. A lot of local music acts, great art. They're bringing the rodeo activities, the equine activities, back to the fair, which have been absent for the last number of years. Mm-hmm.
And she fought hard to get it there.
Yeah. So there's...
And 4-H is now going to be involved in the fair this year, and that's been... there's been a little bit of a dearth in that
It goes back to tying in everybody looking out for what's best for the community, because... Mm-hmm. Dropped back several years when it was down at Yavapai Downs area, the fairgrounds out there. All those activities were going on, and through a series of business deals and political moves, that closed down, and there's some talk of it opening up again. Who knows? But in the absence of having a county fair location, Gary Spiker and them at the event center did a pseudo fair there. It was basically carnival and stuff, some small animal things. Mm-hmm. But because of their location, they couldn't do the full-blown fair activities. But again, stepping up to the plate, trying to get an activity back to the community. And then with the Darby's involvement in the last couple of years, last year it came back to the rodeo grounds out here in Prescott, the historic rodeo grounds there. And this year, second year in a row, and getting full in line more with what folks vision a county fair being.
We talked, seems like hours ago, about how I really like...
That's her way of telling me to shut up.
how I really like breaking stories. Well, I'm the one who broke the story on the fair coming back to the Prescott Rodeo Grounds. And I had several council members from Prescott come to me and say, well, I didn't know anything about that. And so we knew it way before anybody else. And I think we helped cement that decision, and it was a great decision to have it back where it used to be.
Exactly. So lots of good stuff going on. Friends of the show and former guests, Road One South, will be there on Friday night performing on the main stage. So some great blues Friday, September 9th. September 10th, Wes Williams Band and several others throughout the day, but they're going to be headlining Wes Williams and his band Saturday night. It's going to be basically, and forgive me because I probably got the terminology wrong. It was either going to be like school day or education day. Thursday is going to be a day they're going to be bringing a lot of the local school kids out in buses. The main stage on music will be filled with a lot of local musicians who work within the education community, I believe, and I'm probably quoting it wrong. If I'm wrong, oh well, we'll cut it out. Jonathan Best will be out there. But the main stage will be geared towards children that night. Some great blues on Friday night and some great, great jam band music with Wes Williams on Saturday. And Hispanic Heritage on Sunday with a lot of different things going on.
That's so. Right. One thing I want to push is a lot of parents find that it can be very expensive to take their kids to the fair, not because of the admission. The admission is very reasonable, but because of the carnival rides.
Those are parents that don't know how to jump a fence.
And so I'd like to recommend that parents go out and buy those pre-pass all-day tickets for the kids. It's $20 for one or $20 a piece for the pre. If they buy that in advance, they also have one of the nights where they could buy one, get one free. I think that's $30. So it ends up being $15 for two. And so one of the things that I've been really impressed with the Darby's involvement was how they really, really wanted to make sure it was affordable for families.
Yeah.
And this is, you can, once you get in, you can go in and not spend a penny if you don't want to, if your kids keep you away from the carnival.
Yeah. And there's a lot of activities, a lot of exhibits to watch with local artists, local farms and things. So there, you can have a fun full day without dipping into that pocketbook too
much. Just don't bring the kids.
My husband and I took our two grandsons last year, and they loved it. They were so excited.
I was going to say, over the years, you and Lewis taking your kids to anywhere was expensive because you have 15, 16 kids? What do you have?
Eight.
Eight, okay.
Although if we start adding in the spouses, then we're pretty close to 16.
Nice. Another event, again, just to let people know there's so much going on up in this area.
And the Pumpkin Fest.
Go ahead.
You probably know more about each other.
I went to the Pumpkin Fest last year. That was a lot of fun. You can go out. You can pick your own pumpkin. You can pet all sorts of very fun animals, you know, goats and sheep. They have horses to ride. And they have old-fashioned kind of farm rights so that they've made out of tires.
Yeah.
And this is at Mortimer's Farms, Family Farms.
Down at 169 and 69. Yeah. Go through the archives of milehighshow.com.
I just went to the corn fest or the corn party that they had last weekend. And they had the coolest slide. It was like these big giant pipes up over a straw hill. And the kids would climb up the straw hill and then come way down. It was fun.
Go back to MileHighShow.com, look in the archives. We sat and talked with Rosalie and her husband a couple of months ago as they were gearing up for the fair. Cecilia Jernigan, I always butcher it, Jernigan? Cecilia. She handles some marketing for Mortimer Farms,
right.
So go back, listen to that one, do the search. Because when they did their grand opening, they've got, I want to say it's like $30 for a family pass for the whole year. It's something ridiculously inexpensive.
They got a great store too.
I have a really bad way of trying to compliment somebody and it comes out wrong. Cuz in that podcast I was trying to say how interesting and fun the rides looked and it didn't come out quite so I'm going to try again. They've got some rides, they've got some activities that slide that it doesn't seem like they should be able to have them in 2016 because they were the type of things we used to have a lot of fun in way back when in the 60s and 70s.
I was going to say the 1800s.
It looks like something your crazy uncle built. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they have this big, like a huge swing that's made out of rope and wood. It's, I don't know what it, it's like, almost like a, it's a cross between a merry-go-round, a swing, and a big catapult. But it's a
trebuchet.
And it's a lot of fun.
That's
the
next.
The kids were having a great time on it. But just the construction of it is so, I guess,
it's
low tech.
Yeah,
it's low tech, old timey. And no, don't get me wrong, it's completely safe. But it just doesn't look like the sterile playground that you see in most communities.
Exactly.
My son absolutely loved it. They got a 45-foot big mound of dirt that they used, lack of a better term, big sewer pipes. That's a slide.
Yeah.
And it's a ball. It's a lot of fun.
It is.
And it's, you know, you're going to come out of there a little dirty.
Yep.
There's dust. There's a
That's what they
big
love.
Hay ride. You're going to get a little dirty. It's not playing on the fiberglass swing set with the, instead of the tan bark, they got the chunks of rubber because it's clean.
Yeah.
No, the kids are going to get sweaty, they're going to get dirty, they're going to get tired, and they're going to want to go back every single weekend.
And they're going to have a blast, too.
We are getting invaded by the Mr. Chris Hussey.
Yes.
Who I would like to credit that he put Lynn and I together with this guy that had this office that needed some love. And now Prescott E-News is downtown at 224 Montezuma because of Mr. Chris Hussey. Thank you, sir.
So it's your fault.
I want to add, though, about the Pumpkin Fest, and that is the trebuchet thing.
What is
it's
that?
So cool.
Well, a trebuchet, if you watch any of the medieval shows on Netflix, is a device to hurl stones at castle walls.
But instead, they hurl pumpkins.
Right.
And, I mean, they were hurling some pumpkins like half a mile last year. It was amazing. It was a lot of fun, and they have people build their own trebuchets from all over the community, and they bring them. I mean, there was one that came as far as from Kingman. And there's some high school kids that I think they won.
Do they have the pumpkin chunkers, the air guns that shoot the pumpkins as well?
It's all non-mechanized.
Okay.
So it has to be pulleys and levers and everything. It was a lot of fun. I went out. I did some, if you look in the archives, there's some video of it up there that we did. And you got to come out and see the trebuchet thing.
We did that pretty fast, huh, Chris?
And the one other thing coming up, not really in our area, but just a short drive away, September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, the Big Pine Comedy Festival, produced and presented by Ryan Stalder out of Phoenix in Los Angeles. It's going to be a lot of fun. I will be up there shooting pictures for them. They hired me this year.
Sweet.
I got a chance to go down to the big the Bird City Comedy Fest. It was the very first annual Phoenix Comedy Festival this past April, and was blown away by how much fun it was. It was a mixture of stand-up, various other shows,
some great
all kinds
talent.
Of stuff. Oh, and Dana Gould was the headliner. But it was three full days of comedy, and some of those same organizers are working on the second annual Big Pine. Last year was their first one.
Right.
The second annual is going to be September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Some great comics out of New York. The I like to call him the Podfather. He is the godfather of podcasting, Danny LaBelle, who started doing an online, what turned out to be podcast talk show 15, 18 years ago out of New York. And he will be there. He's a great storyteller who has been featured on The Moth, This American Life, and various other storyteller and comedy shows. And then I got my rooming assignment just yesterday, Wednesday night. I will be, and I don't even know if he knows this yet, the great Billy O'Connor, Bronx Billy, and I will be rooming together. So Hotel Weatherford may be in for some trouble, as the Bronx Billy and myself will be sharing a very small confined quarters. So that's what I got coming up. I also have links to a lot of stuff at milehighshow.com, again, with all the archives, so go back, check them out. Again, go around the table. Guy, where can folks find you? Give us the address again. Give us where they can send in news tips, where they can find you online.
Sure. They can email me at guyr@enewsaz.com. And, of course, get your news online at prescottenews.com.
Lynn, where can they get you?
They can get me at editor@enewsaz.com. And come on down and see us. We're at 224 South Montezuma.
Come on down like these folks are right here in the window right now. Hand the mic over to Chris. Give Chris the mic. Chris, wrap it up. Where can folks
Chris
find
Hussey.
You? Chris Hussey, the Wild Hussey Show.
Oh, well, you can find us every Saturday morning on Magic 99.1 from 8 to 9 in the morning, and Shaq Dimension from 7 to 8.
And we got
to
hook up soon because you got some things on the horizon, some changes in your own personal and professional life.
You know how it goes. Nothing's
so
ever stagnant.
Let's sit down and talk one of these days, and we'll catch up on what's going on.
I'm a little bit concerned about you and Billy in a hotel room, though. I have to admit.
I still have your cell, so if I need bail, I know where
no
to call.
No pictures.
All right, that's it. Number 105 of the Mile High Show. Thanks for listening.
I was home watching television. And the Wild, Wild West was coming on. And a special news report flashed across the screen. It said, due to the following, this program won't be shown.